What country is this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagrebem zlotik je.
Hello and welcome to Part of the Age, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
Yes?
How the heck are you?
I'm well, Terry. I'm well. And how are you?
I was going to ask, what are you laughing at? I too am well.
Good to hear it.
We're all over the place already.
Oh man, that sums me up this week.
Yeah. I've seen your Instagram.
You see, I cut my luscious locks.
Why? Why would you do that?
I couldn't hack it.
I thought we were in this together, man.
Listen, until you get to this end, I'm always pushing for you to get your haircut, and consistently over the last
haircut?
Decade, you have let me down, Terry,
what
by getting the chop. I like. Well, first of all, can I just say your hair looks great now. I love a bit of length in your hair, Terry. If that doesn't sound too weird. However, you never push past the, you know. You weren't at the stage I was at. You weren't at the difficult.
You seem to have forgotten when I had the old.
I'll never forget it, Terry.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it.
Flowing locks.
I'll never forget it. Yeah. No, see, what happened was, you know when you just have a few bad hair days in a row and then you're just like, that's it. And it was, there was a few different reasons for it, right? It was a perfect storm. First of all, I made the fatal error of YouTubing. Like how to grow your, not even how to grow your hair. It was like how to style your hair, or you know, for long hair. And okay. every video that I looked at, I was like, oh, I don't want to be like this guy. I don't want to be like that guy. Everyone made me hate having long hair even more. So I was like, okay, well, you know, I'll see how it goes. And then I tried to blow dry it. I don't know if this is interesting for anybody. I tried to blow dry it to get rid of those little flicks out at the end. Mm-hmm. Just made it look extra terrible. Then the next day, my car broke down, right? So it's all related. Stay with me.
Uh-huh.
So my car broke down. Hold on, my levels sound very high there. Hang on.
This is getting very abstract, but thank you.
Sorry.
I do like my long hair.
I was in Aldi, right? And I was just playing a bit of music, but normally, like, anyway, I had the engine turned off, and here's a bit of advice to you, Terry. Never have the radio on with the engine off, because it wears out the battery.
Drains
something
the battery.
Fierce. Yeah. Well, I know that now, and I actually knew that before, but because I haven't been driving my car that much, the battery So then it goes like, you're not going to believe it, the car is dead. It's like, you are joking. But then equally,
you
I was like,
ripping your hair out, did you?
Yeah, this is what's left. So Kerry and Joni went off, and I'm sitting there with my long hair, Pink Floyd t-shirt on, and I'm thinking, I'm waiting for AA to come and fix the car, or to fix my battery or whatever like that. And I was thinking, like, this guy is probably going to rock up and think, who the fuck is this guy? You know what I mean? Some kid putting my life at risk to change this Egypt's battery. So I was like, you know what? I'm cutting my hair. I don't think anyone's taking me seriously with this hair. Plus, I'm going to have to go back into the office. I don't want to be that guy. You know what I mean? Like, no offense to anyone who has long hair. I wish I could do it, but I just can't be that guy. I tried.
Well,
I tried. All right. A very long-winded way of saying I got a haircut this week.
Yes. I'm glad to see your nervous breakdown is going okay.
Oh man, how have things been with yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Kind of been doing some more quizzes and poker. You know.
Oh yeah. Where'd you finish again? Dead last.
I finished second yesterday.
Ah.
You know, got a cool share of the prize pot. Let's just say that.
A couple of quid.
Well, I bought in for a fiver and I got more than that back. And
how much more?
Put a one in front of that five.
Cool 10. Cool 1-0. In profit, though, right?
Yeah, in profit. Okay. Is your maths okay?
Nothing is okay with me this week.
I made a quiz for Faye's family and Faye for Friday night.
Haven't spoken since.
No, well, I was the quizmaster, so
go
I
on.
Made it. So
can you hit me with some questions?
Yeah, I had six rounds. Okay.
Okay.
Music, TV, film, geography, food, and animals. I hit you with a couple of
new and animals. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Go on, hit me with some.
Music. What was the name of Sonique's number one smash hit in 2000?
Sonique?
Yeah.
Sonique? I never even heard of Sonique.
You'll know when I say it.
Sonique? I have no idea.
It's called Feel So Good. Now, let me...
go on, dust off those vocal cords.
Your love, it feels so good, and that's what takes me higher, higher than before. There you go. Ooh, baby.
All right, that's actually a banger, yeah.
Yeah. Number one, it was a smash.
Is that your one who had the short hair?
Yep.
Oh, I hate it at the time, and now in my 30s, I love it.
Yeah.
But I fucking hated it back in the day. Yeah. All right, go on.
You'll probably get this one. What year was Chronic 2001 released?
1999.
Yep. It was a bit of a trick question. Nobody got that one right. Which
yes.
What band released the song Freestylin'?
Bumfunk MCs, of course.
Yes, of course.
I like the fact that your question to FaZe Family is like, who released the stoner classic Chronic 2001? Yeah, go on.
Last question I'll give you from music. What was Westlife's first single?
First single?
Yeah. I think it went to number one as well.
Westlife's first single? Oh wow, I have no idea.
I never want to say goodbye.
Oh, was it? The Lads. What's your favourite Westlife song?
I swear it all over again and I am.
That's a great one, actually.
World of Our Own, I think, is probably my favourite.
You make me feel funny. Moving around. That's pretty good, yeah.
Okay.
I was always a fan of When You're Looking Like That, for what it's worth.
Oh yeah, When You're Looking Like That.
I can't believe what I just gave away. Now I can't take it back.
I don't want to be alone.
Anyway, tell we can do this all day.
Okay, TV. What did the A in AC Slater stand for?
Oh, was it Andy?
Albert.
Ooh.
Name the chicken restaurant in Breaking Bad.
It's either one of two. It's Los Pollos Loco or Los Pollos Hermano.
Hermanos.
Yeah, all right.
The Chicken Brothers. and who played Rachel's sisters in Friends? Now, we need both actresses.
Okay. Christina Applegate, is that her name?
Yep.
And Reese Witherspoon.
Very good. Boom. Here's one for you in the film category.
Oh, okay.
How many?
What
Oscars?
Hollywood's?
I made it very general.
Okay.
How many Oscars has Tom Hanks won?
Three.
Two.
I said it so confidently, I had no idea.
What year did Toy Story come out? The first one.
1995.
Very well done.
Yes. We should just do this for the whole podcast. This is great.
How many Terminator films have there been?
Oh, well, I mean, depends how many you're actually counting. Like,
I'm counting all the ones that have been Terminator films.
Okay. One, two, three. Four. Has there been six?
There's been six.
Fucking nailing this.
And then last one I'll give you. What was Leonardo DiCaprio's highest grossing film?
Highest grossing film?
Yes.
I just feel like this is a trick question. Titanic?
It is Titanic. Okay, a couple of geography ones. Capital of Indonesia?
Well, I've come right down off my high horse now. I don't know.
Jakarta.
Jakarta, really?
Yeah. The largest ocean in the world. Have you got it there for me, Andy?
Pacific.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You got it. Yeah, you got it. highest point in Ireland?
Karen Toole.
Yes, very good.
Yes.
I'll give you one more. What country did falafel originate from?
Morocco.
Egypt. So they say. So the scrolls say.
As it has been written. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I got a couple more rounds if you want.
You know what? Hit me with a couple more questions there, yeah. Terry.
Food and drink is the category.
Yes.
What
play country, along at home, by the way.
What country did the red kidney bean originate from?
What country did the red kidney bean... Spain.
Peru.
That's not even kind of close.
What is Paddington's favourite food?
Sandwiches or something? Jam sandwiches?
Marmalade. I expect marmalade sandwich or marmalade.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen that.
Well, watch it. Joni would love it.
I hear Paddington 2 is like the fucking Citizen Kane of kids' movies.
Of films in general, yeah, friend. Let me tell you right now. Perfect. Perfect screenplay.
Okay.
Wow. What was the first sauce that Heinz released?
Tomato?
Take a second there to think about it.
First sauce that Heinz released. Well, if it's not tomato, then I'm going to just... No, I'm going to stick with tomato, even though I know it's the wrong answer.
It was horseradish.
Never would have gotten that. Yeah, horseradish.
Old times, man.
Horse shit, more like.
Okay, okay, move on to animals. Last one.
Yeah, okay, great.
What kind of animal was Dunstan?
He was a monkey. Well, he was a chimpanzee. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Dunstan.
What was the name of Doug Funny's dog?
Ooh. No clue.
You're going to kick yourself. Funny. You're going to kick yourself. It was, of course, Pork Chop.
Ah! I'm so pissed off with that.
What bird was used on Guinness advertising for years?
Stork?
It's a toucan.
All right, okay. Anyone get that?
And yes, a couple people got it.
Okay.
And how many years are the first 2 years in a cat's life equal to as human years?
I hear. They must have been throwing the book at you when you asked this one. How many years is the equivalent of the first 2 years? The first two? Why the first 2 years? Why not just 2 years?
Because apparently the first 2 years are a certain amount, and then every year after that, it's different.
So when it's on a cat's second birthday, if it was a human, its birthday would be 14.
25.
25?
And then apparently it's 4 years for every year after that.
That's very complicated.
Hey man, I don't make the rules.
I think you do. I think you made that. I think you made that one up.
But I made that quiz and
it went down a treat.
Yeah, absolutely. It was good fun.
I tell you what, I just love answering questions.
Yeah.
I could have just done that the whole time and just said, to hell with the podcast. Let's just ask me questions and I'll answer them. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm sorry, you're just frozen there for a second. Okay.
I wasn't serious, you know.
I missed all of what you said there.
No, it wasn't important.
Have you been watching anything lately, Andy?
Now, Terry, I've one more rant in me, and it's somewhat tied.
To what you've been watching?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got a rant. How fucking, and I'm going to use the word, and I've put the explicit tag on the podcast, so if anyone has any issues, you should have read the fine print. How big of a cunt is the fucking TV license facade? I got a letter in today during a fucking global pandemic saying that because we didn't answer the letter that was put in our door last month, they've appealed for a summons, you know, to appear in. And I'm like, I'm reading this, I'm like, are you fucking serious? Like, no, like, it's just something they say, and I probably would have got another three letters saying similar things until I actually would have had to do something. I fucking paid it, the pricks, anyway. But I'm like, of all the times, how can they fucking live with themselves? And I did my research, because I'll tell you what was pissing me off even before the letter, was, you know the way they've sort of...
They've changed the goalposts now.
Yeah, and... I'm going to use the word again, cunts, about the whole, like, if you've seen the ad on TV where they're like, it's just one of the terms and conditions of life in Ireland.
Yeah, I hate
like,
that.
You fucking pricks. And like,
just
and
call you, it a tax. Just yeah. call it a tax, all right?
Like, a door-to-door tax, basically.
Don't give me the shite, like.
Even if you have a broken TV in your gaff, you still have to pay because it's it could be repaired. Like, if you have a phone or a laptop, like, it's just call, like, why are you trying to make up these rules of like, oh, well, that could be a TV.
Yeah, like,
That could be a TV.
The worst thing is, I could understand it in years gone by because everyone was on a TV and they were getting terrestrial television.
And that was it.
So you're paying for that, you know, you're paying for this service or whatever. Yeah. Like that, and that exactly that was it. And then you pay extra if you want your Sky or whatever. I don't have any terrestrial TV.
Outdated.
I have TV and my subscription that I pay for my Netflix, for my Now TV, yeah. for whatever, has nothing to do with the government. They're giving me nothing for it and they're still taxing yeah. me for this.
Why don't they even call it like RTE license or, you know, call it what it is. It's nothing to do with the fact that you have a TV. It's just that RTE exists and you live in Ireland, so pay it. Like, that's essentially what it is.
Exactly.
And I hate even after at an RTE, it's like it's paid for by your license fee and all this, you know, fuck these you, little things. I mean, it just drove me fucking mad. And I can't prove it, but I'm sure it's related. Have you seen these bollocks ads on TV? I don't know if you have, like, normal... If you get ads, but there's these ads promoting TV ads, like this Irish, like, you know, elaborate ad, and it the whole thing at the end is trying to get people to invest in TV advertising thing. It's still the best way of because everyone's going on online digital marketing. It is dead. Every time the ads are on, people are face down on their phones. They're not looking at ads.
Yeah, and so right, like.
And I'm pretty sure because I think TV license is 50%. 50% of RTE's money is from TV license, and the rest is from commercials and all that. I'm pretty certain that RTE has a hand in this, trying to get people to invest more in ads. I mean, it's like, what are we? Anyway, I could go off, but I mean, like, what?
They're wankers, absolute wankers,
absolute fuck. And in a pandemic, like, sending letters like that. Anyway,
ring up Joe Duffy.
You know what? I've never listened to a second of Joe Duffy. I just keep hearing he's the guy that you call in a crisis.
It's old people that want to complain about stuff. They ring up. Like, in the hospital, we always get threats. Not me, but like you always hear of somebody that's like been dealing with patients on the phone, and it's like, and they've said they're going to ring Joe Duffy, and you're like, to give out like. And I was in Vincent's Hospital. And they sent me out a bill for 50 quid when I shouldn't have paid that 50 or some they probably should have paid it, but they just didn't want to pay it. I didn't pay it at the time, so I'm not going to pay it now.
And I'll be on to Joe Duffy.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, expecting you to be on the other end going like, no, please. Oh, okay, listen.
I've had a talk with my manager. We've moved some stuff around.
Not Joe Duffy.
It's okay. Just give us 25, we'll call it even.
Like, okay, I was bluffing, it's fine.
All right, fine.
But yeah, it's a very outdated system, and I was very, very annoyed with it. And so I just emailed them, like, this is me losing the plot. I emailed them and I said, I just received a very nice letter threatening a court summons unless I pay the TV license, and I have to email this number or email this address when it's paid, so it's paid. And they just got back.
You should be fucking ashamed of yourselves.
I had a whole anyway, but yeah. So that was annoying. Yeah. Anyway, the question you asked me was, what was I watching?
Yeah,
and the answer is, what have I been watching? Not much, to be honest. I mean, not much yet. Also, everything. Watched more Limmy's Homemade Show. I think I was very quick episode 2 was better than episode 1.
Where can I find this again?
BBC 2.
Yeah, but I don't have it. I just told you I don't have it.
iPlayer.
How do I get that?
Like, oh, you See, this is what happens then when you don't have terrestrial TV. I'll send you a link.
Bingo.
Yeah. I'll send you a link. But yeah, it was very good. But yeah, I'm drawing a blank, to be honest. I've been watching some old school wrestling, and I've been watching that Dark Side of the Ring. Watched a good few of those.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. Yeah. I watched the Montreal Scroogey, the...
Royal Bret, huh?
Oh man, Bret Hart just makes me sad. Yeah. The Brawl for All.
I knew they were going to screw me.
I tell you what, your Bret Hart is dead on.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just general Canadian man, but it still works.
I grabbed Earl Hebner and I asked, "Are they going to screw me?" But I knew.
What do you think about the theory from like people like Scott Hall that it was a work?
It's ridiculous. Like, look at him there; it's a work.
What about fucking Jim Cornette? Like, was he always insane?
Yeah. Is he? Definitely. Like,
I always thought he was like a little nerd, like whatever. He's like, I will piss on his grave. I told my wife I will cut her out of the will if he doesn't get a picture of me pissing on his grave in a wheelchair. Like, what's he talking about?
Well, apparently, like your man Russo. That's who he's talking about. Yeah. Jim Cornette is talking about how much he hates Vince Russo. He basically has like had restraining orders. Vince Russo has had restraining orders against him and stuff like that. Like, it's just insane. Like.
I went back. I was watching some old Raws from like 98 on the network. Cheers, A-Roy. And I don't know that like the 98 stuff seems a little bit darker to me now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it is. Oh, it's the atmosphere and the time is like very, it's very toxic. Almost,
it's kind of one of the first times I sort of picked up on it. Like, I think after they introduced SmackDown and like, you know, around like 2000, 2001, the McMahon, Helms in the Air, all that stuff, it gets a bit sort of lighter or a bit more professional, but like it seems very sort of dank and dark.
In my head, I was like, oh, Attitude Era, like all the best stuff is like 98, 99.
It really isn't.
It's like after 2000, 2001, like even that year, like at WrestleMania 2000 to WrestleMania 2000, to WrestleMania 17, it's probably the best year of wrestling in the Attitude Era.
Yeah,
like if you get me.
Yeah, because I always thought like Austin McMahon and all this sort of stuff, but like I'm looking at the promos, I'm looking at the matches, and like none of them are actually that good. It's just some of it's kind of shocking for a 14-year-old. Or it's like, oh, he's about to show his dick, or he's about to fucking whatever. You know what I mean?
Like a lot of the best stuff was when like Jericho came in, Guerrero, Benoit, like, you know, these actual like really great technical wrestlers, because
like a little bit after the wars,
they had lost a lot of like. Even like 97, like they lost like Bret Hart, Owen Hart, God rest the soul. Like, you know,
Still even in it when I was watching.
No, like, so tragic.
And I should point out the reference to he's going to show his dick. It's just because Triple H was going to be the one where he's like, oh, I'm going to show the bazooka or whatever. It was like, and then you realize that they're sponsored by Super Soaker. It all sort of makes sense. But
it's funny like how your memory plays tricks on you.
It's mad. Like, I don't even know if I want to watch anymore. Like, I want to skip a year or two. Like, it's
you'd be as good. You'd be as good to watch like 2000, 2001 stuff.
Yeah,
like, That build up to like WrestleMania 17 between Rock and Austin.
I want to get into that again because, like, I feel like I don't appreciate that as much as everybody else does. Yeah, I don't really remember it. You know what I mean?
That was the one. That was the one for me. WrestleMania 17. Like,
yeah, it seems to be everyone's favorite. Like,
it's possible.
What have you been watching?
Best one of the Attitude Era, I'd say.
Yeah, sorry here.
I've got some stuff that I've been watching that I think would be right up your alley. Well, I say your alley.
The listeners' alley.
Did you happen to notice on Netflix that they have slipped in quite stealthily every single Studio Ghibli film?
I did notice that. Yeah.
And have you introduced Joni to any of them?
I did. I introduced her to Spirited Away. It was terrifying.
That was the worst one to pick her, I think.
I know. Like, that was like the only one I seen, really, or the one that I know best. Like, and absolutely terrifying. And she'll never watch it again for as long as she lives. But like that old woman with the big head, like, and she's all real close, like fucking terrifying. Like,
what I was gonna say to you was the one to introduce her to.
Yes.
Is My Neighbor Totoro.
Oh yeah.
He's just a big, giant, plush he's
the cat thing.
He's apparently, there's a cat bus that they all get on. But the story is just like two sisters and they move to the country or something and they find Totoro living in the woods, and that's pretty much it. They kind of become friends with Totoro. I think the whole thing is their mom is a bit sick. So the climax doesn't have to do between good and evil or anything like that. It's just like...
just a nice film.
They have to get to the hospital in time or something. But it's just a lovely, absolutely lovely film. Like, and I think that like some of the Studio Ghibli stuff is for kids and some is for adults.
Yeah.
Totoro is definitely one that's very child-friendly. But the other one I watched that I would recommend is Ponyo.
Ponyo? I never even heard of that one.
Does Joni like Little Mermaid?
She likes the toy and the idea of mermaids. I don't think she's actually sat and watched the movie, though.
Oh, okay. Well, this Ponyo is like his Miyazaki's version of Little Mermaid in that like it's a fish girl that escapes the sea and comes onto land and falls in love with a little boy. They're like 4 and 5.
Ah, all right.
And then, and then they become like best friends. But she keeps saying how much she loves him, and like that's the crux of the film is whether or not she gets to stay and be best friends with this little guy, or she has to go back to the ocean. But it's nice. I watched it the other day. It's fucking brilliant. Like she loves ham. Ponyo loves ham. Well,
she loves Ponyo ham. Loves ham. Yeah, that sounds right up her street.
Well, that's literally like that's what she said. She's like, Ponyo loves Sasuke. Ponyo loves ham.
Yeah, big fan of the Studio Ghibli franchise in general.
And there's some other good stuff there for you. There's one Porco Rosso.
Yeah, I've heard of that one. Yeah,
that's a guy about a fighter pilot who's a pig for a face. Very good.
I probably won't watch that one now, to be honest.
That's good, but that's one of the better ones. I have to say, that's one of my faves.
Oh, okay. What's the latest Studio Ghibli film? Have they made a film in the last?
Because he keeps retiring. Well, Miyazaki hasn't made a film. He keeps retiring. You know, so the last one he made was The Wind Rises, which is pretty much straightforward about, because he's mad about airplanes. Every film has an airplane in it.
Yeah.
So that's about the guy who invented the first airplane in Japan or something like that. Right. Like, you know,
it's a hard pass for me there.
I haven't got around to watching it, so that'll tell you everything. That's on the long finger list.
Now, of course, I was watching Thor, but I'll save that for our other podcast. And man, oh man, do I have a lot to say about that movie.
Oh God, this could be contentious. The last thing I want to talk about that I watched on Saturday afternoon.
Yes.
And it was as good as I remember, if not better.
Yes.
I'm talking about the classic, the Disney classic, Henson Company classic, Muppet Treasure Island.
I watched a bit of it myself, actually.
Oh, man. it's very bittersweet watching it. One.
Do you hate the kid in it? Or is that just me?
I hate the kid in it, but I actually really like him as an adult.
Who is he as an adult?
He's your man Kevin Bishop, the sketch act comedy guy. I don't know if you ever remember, there was the Kevin Bishop show.
Kevin Bishop, hang on, I'm Googling.
But he was in, I don't know if you remember that show on Channel 4, Star Stories.
Oh, I remember
it. I love that show, man.
Oh, wow, he looks exactly the same.
Yeah. I like him in Star Stories and other sketch stuff, but I did not care for him in Muppet Treasure Island.
No.
Easily the worst part.
Yeah, he is.
But the whole thing, the whole film itself is Tim Curry.
Tim Curry is just the
best.
And
it's so sad now. I was reading up on him afterwards.
He's dead now, isn't he?
No, he had a stroke in 2012 and he's in a wheelchair. But he's still doing voice work. But my God, that performance in Muppet Treasure Island.
Rivals his
performance. Tears. He puts so much like pathos into that character. I don't know if you saw that clip I put on Twitter.
I did, yeah, it was good.
Where it's at the end and he's like, we're mates, Jim, aren't we? Adventurers together. And he's like, you're going to blow the whistle on me. And like, the voice
quivers.
You can
just feel it with him,
And it's like, your man has the whistle to his lips and he's like cocking the gun. And he's like, I gotta have to do it, Jimbo. And he's like, well then do it, Long John. And he's like, I can't, you're a better man than me. And then like, I always liked you, Jim. And he's like, go away and I'll never see you again. And I was just like, oh man, he has no right to be putting that much heart into this silly puppet movie, like, you know.
We're shipmates, aren't we, Jim? Gentlemen of fortune together. Give us one more chance. Oh, hell, Jim. I can never harm you. You're honest and brave and true. You didn't learn that from me.
I learned it from my friends, Mr. Silver. Now take your oars and row away. I never want to see you again, ever.
Oh, Jim! It's a shame, really. We'd have made a great team, Jim!
But this, it's just like that, like, you know, even like Michael Caine kind of did that a bit in the Christmas one.
No, I did.
You didn't like Michael Caine in it?
Look, I like him. I like him all right. Like, but like Tim Curry blows him out of the water. If we're talking leading men Muppet performances, Tim Curry is at the top.
Leading men Muppet performances.
Yeah, I mean, like,
Who else did it?
There was Jason Segel was in the Muppets. Ricky Gervais was in Muppets Most Wanted.
Oh yeah, I saw that actually.
They're
all right. Yeah. I don't know if I'm a massive fan of the Muppet franchise.
To be honest, I've never gone back and watched any of the like 70s, 80s ones, like the Great like Muppet Caper or the Muppet Movie or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But like Muppet Christmas Carol and Muppet Treasure Island, they're right in that sweet spot of like 92, 95. You know where you're like, by the time you're getting them on video, you're like 8 10, like, you know,
you're just wearing them out, like.
And especially with Muppet Treasure Island, I remember like none of my mates like liking that one. They're like, what are you doing watching the Muppets? I'm like, I just fucking love it, like.
Tears rolling down your face. But the pathos of Tim Curry,
look at him. And you know what, it's actually really telling, just because like it's a musical or whatever, like that he's a stage song and dance guy, like it just really works. Perfect.
The music's great in it as well.
Yeah.
I have to say, just before we get into The Simpsons, there's one movie I was watching, and I have no right to like this movie as much as I do on Disney Plus. D2, the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
Now, it got absolutely slated review-wise, right? And, like, I'm sure rightly so, because there was
Is D2 the one where they're like Team America?
Team USA.
Team USA.
But I don't know what it is. It was like right around the age that I would have been, maybe 9, 10, big into rollerblading and like playing hockey on the streets and stuff like that, on the mean streets. And there's something about
a gated community.
Just the fashion, the music, just the age of the kids were my age. Everything about it just resonated with me. For some reason, I feel like that movie resonates with 10-year-old me more than anything else.
I would actually like to go back and watch the three of them, because in my mind,
I've never seen three.
Have you not?
No.
Oh.
I mean,
our old pal Goldberg, you know, he's seen better days. Seen better days,
but he may as well be.
But I think he's like the hero in it. In terms what was it? Knuckle Puck, was that his shot?
That was Keenan's shot.
Oh, was that Keenan? Okay.
Yeah.
Goldberg was the keeper, was he?
Yeah. And then they had the other one. But there's loads of people that you sort of recognize but not quite know who they are. Yeah. But you know them all, you know. But
I would like to watch the first one again, because in my mind that was the one that was like, okay, this is like a movie made, and then the other two were like, yeah, okay, that one, cash grab, you know, like.
Apparently Emilio Estevez was very surprised at how popular the movie is. I don't think he expected anything from the franchise at all.
I'd actually love to see him star in something.
Is he still knocking around?
He's alive. He's directing stuff, unsuccessfully, I'd say.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, but like, I'd like to, like, he plays the, like, everyman.
Yeah.
Quite well, like, you know what I mean? Like, that, like, Coach Bombay, what was it like? The premise is...
Gordon Bombay. He played himself, but he never quite made it to the big leagues.
No, but like, it's like community service or something that he has to like do the kids coaching.
Yeah, or something to do with his job or something like that, and he was forced to go to...
He's forced anyway, like, yeah. And yeah. I always remember like when he goes to do the hockey in the first one, he's like in his car and like everybody's like shaking the car and it's like... putting their mouth on the window and stuff like that. Those crazy kids.
Oh, that's great. But anyway, listen. Yeah, go on.
One thing I'm waiting for to be added to Disney Plus, and I was checking online, there's no...
Sandlot Kids?
No, God.
Where is that?
I don't know, but still no sign of Teen Angel.
Come on now.
It's such a good show, Andy.
Stop it.
It is so good. It's written, the showrunners of The Simpsons. How could you not like this show? Like,
look, maybe I was unfair to it when I was a kid.
I tell you, but, most definitely were. Like,
but I feel like I'm more unfair to things as an adult. So, but if it was on, I would watch it just for novelty's sake, just so I could tell you that I either watched it or hated it. Or
I'm
going to
email Mickey tonight. What's this? You want Teen Angel?
Absolutely not.
Shit, you little shit.
Tell me how to run my own company. Listen.
Bomber's house.
Oh, excuse me. Listen. Did you pick up that on the mic?
It sounded like you put a mug down on a coffee table.
Oh, I love analysing farts and saying they sound like other things. But that's exactly what it was. Anyway, listen, if I can get on to more highbrow matters.
Yes,
Homie the Clown.
Yes.
The 15th episode of The Simpsons' 6th season, written by John Swartzwelder.
Good stock.
And directed by David Silverman. Also good stock.
Excellent stock.
And the script apparently required very little rewriting, and Silverman considers it one of the best episodes he has ever directed, and he later used it to help him when directing The Simpsons movie.
Oh, really? He did that?
Yeah. And it starred, of course, Joe Mantegna, which apparently Joe Mantegna is such a joy to direct because Mantegna loves the role of Fat Tony so much. He says he wishes he could voice him even if he only coughs.
I think this is our first Fat Tony episode. Like featured episode, you know?
Yeah, I think so. Wasn't there... Was the first one like where Bart actually goes to work for the mob?
Yeah, that was before we, like, that's season 2 or 3, like.
Yeah, because I noticed they were still in that sort of like down the steps off the street sort of, you know, hub.
I love that, like.
Yeah, and they had Dick Cavett, and I always found Dick Cavett to be very weird. Like, I watched a few shows of him interviewing like John Lennon and George Harrison back in like the early 70s, whatever. And I'm like, or even Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And I'm like, this guy's fucking weird. Like,
why do you find him weird?
I don't know. Like, he's just, I don't think he's very good. And I think he's
pretty good.
Well, what I've seen, I'm like, I can't believe this guy's profession is talk show host. Because I'm like, is he just making these up on the spot? Like, I don't think he's any prepared questions. He'll just sort of like say, what do you mean by that? Or anyway,
yeah, but more of a chat. That was his whole thing. It was like, that was the vibe. Like, you're sitting down to have a cigarette and a scotch with this guy.
Yeah. You know, I remember that's the reason why Joni Mitchell didn't play Woodstock, because she had an appearance in the Dick Cavett show.
It was huge.
And it was huge for her career. Like, of all people to miss, of all things, like, she missed Woodstock. And like, I remember like Crosby, Stills, and Nash literally were coming back from Woodstock and they came in on set and joined in the interview and all this. Like, so it seemed very loosey-goosey, Ari. But they said apparently Dick Cavett was like probably the meanest they'd ever been to a guest star in terms of what they wrote, but apparently he didn't have any objections at all.
Yeah, I like that, and we'll get into that later on, but
apart from that, Matt Groening thought that the scene where Homer beats up the Estonian dwarf, as they put it, was too violent, but they said, well, they basically animated it and they left it exactly as it was. Nothing was changed. And the last thing is the episode. It got a Nielsen rating of 7.9, which is...
That's low.
Me at peanuts. Yeah. Fifth highest rated show on Fox that week, and it got, you know, great reviews. Well, good reviews. And yada, yada, yada. And I'll be honest, that's all I've got.
Hmm. I have nothing.
Right. Well, say I can tell you that apparently this is a big one. I can't believe I wasn't going to talk about this. They saw they were going to do Krusty the Clown being revealed as Homer Simpson's secret stage identity in the Simpsons movie, and I'm like, I don't know how they would have pulled that off. To
was
be honest,
was it the movie? I thought it was supposed to be the, like, Who Shot Mr. Burns, because they were saying that, like, they kept saying Homer and Krusty look exactly alike when they're together. But this episode completely debunks it anyway. Like,
yeah, exactly. I think they gave up that after this episode. But because, well, it just had an early idea for The Simpsons, so maybe it was just The Simpsons in general rather than The Simpsons movie. But they have The Simpsons on the Wikipedia page in italics, which made me think it was something else. So, you know what? That's my goof. We'll say no more about it.
Shall we get into what we thought of the episode?
Please. Can I ask your opinion first?
I really quite... It's a great episode. Well, but I'm not even going to dance around it. Like, it's a great episode. Like, it's Krusty heavy, which is, for me, is always a plus.
Yeah.
And, like, just even the structure of it, they do such a, like, I'm not surprised. Like, it doesn't seem like it's rewritten, and I mean that in, like, the best possible way. I mean, I feel like they got all their good stuff out early.
Yeah.
And, like, they lay the trap for it so elegantly and so quickly. Like,
yeah, it was just very well put together. You could tell it was one of those, you know, the way, like, they say, like, on all those great songs, it's like, oh, I wrote it in 10 minutes.
Exactly.
And we had it written and recorded in an hour or whatever. Like, it seemed like one of those, like, writer's equivalent episode. And but I kind of admit, like the first maybe 5-6 minutes, I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm really into this.
No,
like,
I had a lot of big laughs at the start. Like,
but the second half on, or even the last three quarters of it, I thought was great. But yeah, like, it started.
The whole thing with Krusty, like, behind the scenes with Krusty, I love it. And, like,
literally as soon as the curtain falls,
Krusty, like, and that guy, his accountant.
He couldn't be more Jewish as well.
I love it, though. Like, and it's just like, it's like, did you send 1,000 roses to beer at his grave? Yes, but he's still, I don't want to hear the end of 20 sentences. Like,
and after, like, George Carlin's going to say, like, give him 10 grand. Steve Martin, I'm for 10 grand. And is that the same guy from Boy Scouts in the Hood, where he's like, I tried to tell you, Krusty, these are unmanned oil rigs.
Yeah, it's the same voice, definitely. Like, yeah, these are unmanned oil rigs.
I was only watching that episode, actually, with Joni the other day, and she was like, why is he so mean? Like, Homer.
Homer.
I was like, yeah, he is pretty mean. Listen, he's like, yeah.
He's hungry, like, Joni.
Yeah.
He's starting. I also love, like, just, like, the first two or three scenes, whatever, and then Krusty and Fat Tony. He's like,
Krusty, in regards to the large wager you made on yesterday's horse race.
Oh, come on. How about letting me go double or nothing on the Big Opera tonight?
Who do you like?
The tenor.
Okay, but we're only letting the bet ride because you crack us so consistently. Oh.
Pissed myself laughing at that, like. I don't know, but even before you get to Homer, there's still so many good stuff. The whole Lady Krusty line.
Oh, with the little chomper thing on her upper lip. Is my upper lip supposed to bleed?
Nothing is selling anymore. He's like, but our infomercials are running 24 hours a day.
Even like the Krusty control crowd.
Krusty says, get back.
Or even like lighting a cigarette with like an original Superman comic and all. Like, yes. He keeps using these elaborate ways.
I'm looking at the script here and I forgot my favorite joke in the whole episode is He says he has to open a regional a clown college and train some regional crusties.
What was it again? You mean that bozo? What was the guy's name?
Bonko the clown. And it's just like, because I'm a huge Seinfeld fan, as we both are, and that whole, like, Eric the Clown.
Eric.
Like,
what kind of name is that for a clown?
He's like, Bozo, B-O-Z-O. So, like, the regional Bozo is Bonko the Clown, of course. Like,
But I did have a little chuckle. Even at the line before, where it's like, after, like, the only thing left to do is open up a clown college and train some regional crusties. That seems like a money pit more than anything.
Exactly. And then, like, you kind of, like, it jumps over to Homer, and you kind of get his story for a little bit. Like, and that's what I liked about it. They had the two sort of the two main characters of this episode are Homer and Krusty.
Yeah.
They have a little bit of crossover, but then they're both on their separate things.
That's always the sign of a great, and again, back to Seinfeld, it's what Seinfeld did great, where they can sort of dovetail, for want of a better word, at the end. But like, they both had their own separate stories and they just sort of merged like that.
Like Homer, after seeing all the billboards, has all his stuff in the power plant. And I just, like, it's really weird, but like also brilliant when...
And he's like, I'm not going to enroll in that clown college, though. That advertisement had absolutely no effect on me.
But, like, when Lenny walks in, he's like, that thing you're monitoring is on fire. And then it turns to the clowns, like.
Yeah.
And the music, and then the people on fire are, like, rolling around. Like.
Clowns are funny.
Or even like, and then, oh, but like, even,
Marge.
Like, when he's at dinner, it's like, homie, is he like, Marge? It's like, yes, homie. Even like the way he's making that like tent out of his tongue sticking out.
Do you know what that's from?
No.
That's Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
What is that? What happens?
It's
in
like Richard Dreyfuss is like making, he sees the spaceship or whatever, and then like when he's at home, he's like obsessed with it, but he's making it out of mashed potatoes.
Oh, right.
So that's what Homer's doing with the tent. Like,
brilliant.
But even like when Marge is looking at him, she's like, I think I'll get some wine.
And of course, and then like the whole line of just like, what are they thinking? Like all they're seeing is him going, Marge. And then he just goes, you people have stood in my way long enough. Like, what's going through his head? Like,
but like, first of all, the way Marge looks, I think, is like,
as a clown,
amazing. Amazing. Yeah, great. And like her, like, yes, homie, like, oh, it's so good.
That was our best, the best tweet that our, that Put It in H had, was the Ancelotti incorporated into that scene, where it was like, you people have stood in my way long enough, I'm going to manage Everton.
Then Homer kind of goes to clown college, and I did like at the start where like Krusty is saying, you know, only one Krusty in each territory,
one per territory,
and I just like the accents, where it's like Georgia,
Texas,
like, Brooklyn,
of course,
New Hampshire,
Homer. Now, when they start off with the baggy pants thing, like, Krusty's just as, you know, I don't want to say the F word, but yeah, he's just as fat as Homer, and he's supposed to be like, they're supposed to be baggy, like they're exactly the same body type.
Yeah, I do. I just love the way Homer's modeling them. Even he's like
straightening his leg.
Yeah, very feminine.
Yeah.
And then Homer is kind of training for the Spin Cycle Fantastique.
the I mean, it's such good writing where his pant leg gets caught in the pedal and his pants just come down.
Burn that seat. And then I just love seeing Krusty do his thing.
Yeah.
And like him being like, when the wealthy dowager comes in, the party's over, right? Wrong.
like, it's a kill wealthy dowager. That was the biggest laugh.
Yeah, I'm glad they put that in there because he literally, like, he slams her into the wall.
Like she's just standing there, like, looking all over. And, like, it's like the bricks, like, getting, or, like, the wall cracking behind, like, proper whacked her head into the wall.
And then, even there, like, I just, like, again, I just, like, I love getting loads of crusty, for lack of a better.
Yeah.
Like, these crusty band balloons at $3 each. Like, get a cheap one, and what happens? Goes off. Takes out the eyeballs of every kid in the room. What's that gonna cost you? Bill, what that cost us?
Yeah. I like the fact that Homer's major was in the squirting of his flower.
Boutonier.
Gets a little ricochet off the kids.
And then, he graduates, and it's kind of then...
I was going to say, I liked where they were called Family of Skilled Crustaceans.
Yes, but I didn't really care for the whole, like, crusty chasing them, like, shocking them or whatever. Like I thought it was hilarious when I was younger, but...
That's how it always is now, isn't it?
Yeah. Now I'm like, okay, that's kind of overkill. Like, but it's true to the characters, I guess. You know, it's true to Homer and it's true to Krusty. Like,
but and Homer really does look like Krusty when you put them, like, because even when he was there in the, you know, getting his thing, I was like, oh yeah, that's fucking Homer, not a second Krusty.
Yeah.
But the hamburger scene afterwards was just, first of all, he's dead. Homer is dead. It's like parachuting, whatever. He just seems...
To audience, I now proclaim this new burger for sale. And Lord save me.
It's the Krusty Burglar.
Oh my god, he's stealing all the burgers. Why, you little, I got you.
It's all just an act. Krusty the Clown, everybody.
Like, he just crashes into the burgers, like, he'd be dead. Yeah. And then just literally beats up this guy to death.
I did like Homer's line reading of, like, to audience, I now pronounce this burger for sale.
For sale. and like, the smile on his face, like, I did a good job. For sale.
And then, just...
He just beats the shit out of this guy.
It actually makes... I for once, I kind of agree with Matt Groening that it kind of makes me uncomfortable.
It was a bit much, like...
Yeah.
The kid's just crying, like, he's already dead. That's... It almost gets darker, like, the older you get. Because I don't remember even thinking twice about that when I was a kid, like...
It's like, oh, that's funny, like, you know?
Yeah.
And then he's at Milhouse's party, which... the way he arrives...
When he crashes the car into the tree and then, like, 2 seconds later it comes through the windshield.
Fully, like, hits, like, an ejector seat or something to, like, pop himself through, like.
That actually, I stand corrected, that was the biggest laugh. The delayed reaction.
And I like how Milhouse, you know, my dad's a pretty big wheel down at the cracker factory.
Plus, like, the fact that Milhouse's dad is such a loser, but, like, it wasn't that Milhouse was even saying, like, I got Krusty at my party. It was like, my dad got Krusty at my, like, he's bigging up his dad, like.
And, like, I did, like, Homer just be like, do-do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do, and they're, like, just all throwing shit at him. Like,
it's not 5:30 yet.
And then he has to go host the Ace Awards, I guess. But even this whole stretch of, like, Homer being sick of being a clown, they do they tell it so beautifully, because, like, when you think, oh, he's gonna quit, then they pull in the fact that he can get stuff for being crusty, and that sucks him right back in, like, you know,
like, he's just about out, and then he realizes, and then it's like, oh, the perks
in terms of a storytelling structure, it's great. Because you're like, okay, they've kind of taken it as far as they can. How can we get a little bit more out of it? And then it's like, oh, of course, there's this avenue you can go down here.
Yeah.
And that's going to get us another 6 minutes, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. And like we're talking about Dick Cavett. Like, I just love the whole, the Ace Awards, how it's the winner of, what is it? It's the promising new series on cable. Old Starsky and Hutches.
Accepting the award is the son of the guy who played Huggy Bear.
Yeah.
The son of the guy who played Huggy Bear. Not even his name. Like.
Yeah. And I did love that Dick Cavett was like, well, my time's almost up here, so I'd just like to say, I know Woody Allen.
He's like, I have some wonderful stories about other famous people that include me in some way.
I gotta go distract bulls at a rodeo.
And the whole, when he's talking about, he's like, that reminds me of the time I was having dinner with Groucho. And
you're going to be having dinner tonight with Groucho if you don't beat it.
I like the way even Homer's car is, like, has just gone like clownish. Like the wheels are wobbly. Like he's got all this shit on it. Like, you know.
I did, again, it's just something about Wiggum. Because maybe it was 2 weeks ago where it was like, it was like, I heard that with a squawk box. Like, I love his, like, line readings. Of like,
I know.
Well, well, Velocity boy. I'm going to give you the biggest ticket. Oh, hey, Krusty.
Yeah.
I can't believe I was going to give you a ticket. Krusty the Clown. And, like, just Homer. He's not paying any attention to what Homer's saying.
Yeah, he keeps telling him he's not Krusty. Like, that's a good one, Krusty.
Yeah, remember that time he got loaded and set those beavers loose in that pine furniture stores? All right, you take it easy, Krusty.
Just like that. He doesn't need anyone else in this conversation. Like, and then Apu, of course, being Apu, gives him a measly 5% off everything in the store. But the whole thing of, I loved the little Luigi? Back and forth between Homer and Marge, first of all, where like, he's like, I'm not saying I won't work. I'm just saying it's dishonest. And Homer's like, well, if we agree, then why are you arguing?
Why are we arguing?
And Luigi just been like,
hey, Krusty, hey. Ooh, beautiful date tonight, huh? And such a lovely children you have now.
I'm more striking than lovely.
You come with me. Come with Luigi. You don't want to sit with the rest of this scum.
Hey,
I only consider you scum compared to Krusty.
Oh, well, right. I can see that. And I'll have the canola.
Yeah, you see how you scum.
And then, so like, and the others, they kind of keep checking in on the other story where it's with Krusty, and he's like, let me get this straight. You took all the money you made franchising your name and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
I thought the Generals were due.
I'm just showing it, like,
I use that all the time.
Just take it.
He's spinning that ball on his finger.
I love how, like, they kick it into the hoop as well. Like.
That game was fixed. They were using a freaking ladder, for God's sakes.
And it kind of shows, he's like, when the mob shows up, he's like, just take the clown car. He's like, we have already taken it. Kids have a lot of money these days. So after you finish your performance, you might consider robbing them.
And then, like, I mean, the whole thing of, like, Krusty, like, you don't mind if I go to the bathroom first?
Yeah.
And, like, first of all, like, he runs off, slams the door. You hear the window open. You hear the car speed away.
Yeah.
Then immediately you hear a plane flying over. Yeah. And they're all looking, and then, like, legs. Like, when he's done in there, I gotta go.
That's really, like, classic Simpsons, like.
Brilliant.
And then they kind of, like, say, they swap over when it was the mob and Krusty, and now it's the mob and Homer.
Yeah.
And, like, he wants a total world search.
And again, that's classic Simpsons as well. It's like, I want everything that's come with a Krusty the Clown, which is me, Krusty.
And like, the whole thing, the car salesman, like, well, I can't give you the car, Krusty, but I can let you have it for practically nothing. Only 38,000.
Hey, what are all these holes?
These are speed holes. They make the car go faster.
Oh, yeah, speed holes.
You want my advice? I think you should buy this car.
And the fact that he's quick as a flash, like, they shoot the car. He's like, those are speed holes. That makes the car go faster.
There's just something about the way Matt Groening's guys write salesman. I'm not saying him, but like it was the same on Futurama.
Yeah.
When they were doing a car salesman, and it was like
to get them perfect.
Oh, there was I don't know what it was about. Where it's like he's selling it to one of the characters, and she's being real dumb, and she's like, "Oh no, I." He's like, "It's like 38," and he's like, "I only have 40,000," and like his eyebrow just raises, and he just like puts his hand up and like pulls it back down, like, and he's like, "I'm sure that's fine. We'll go in and sort it out or whatever." But like. Like it's such a great visual. His face stays exactly the same.
It's just the eyebrow.
You just see his hand come up and like move the eyebrow back down.
Like, plus, even like the salesman in this was like after the car is riddled with bullets, the windshield is smashed, the wheels are gone. It's like, you want my advice? I think you should buy this car.
I use that all the time with Faye.
Oh, you were saying like, that even in the shop. Like, want it's, like my advice?
It's a bruised apple or something. You want my advice? I think you should buy that apple.
And do you deliberately use it for stuff that's like clearly you shouldn't buy? Okay. Very good.
And Christy has his plastic surgery.
Didn't really like that bit.
No, weird. Yeah. Well, I like the reveal of like I look exactly the same. He's like, you know, like just Christy's face, and it's just him angry.
He's just got breasts.
Yeah. No. Well, then you're complaining about the breasts.
And then you have Ned and Homer again. Like these gangsters are the worst shot. Like, they go all the way and they buy three more bullets. They get Ned first with the Bible, next with the cross, and then he's like, "I'm gonna go inside."
I'm gonna go inside. And then it's the axe.
Like, who keeps doing that? I told you we should have bought more than three bullets.
And then you kind of get along. You're kind of at the end, really. It's they take him to the headquarters, and
can I say before we get there though, he's like, "I'm not him. I'm Homer Simpson." He's like the same Homer Simpson who crashed his car through the wall of our club. I'm Barney. The same Barney Gumble who keeps taking pictures of my sister.
I love it. It's like, actually, my real name is Think Krusty Think Giovanacci.
The same Giovanacci who squealed to the Senate committee about organized crime.
Benedict Arnold.
The same Benedict Arnold who plotted to surrender West Point to the hated British. Oh, I love it. You can do that.
Then you meet Don Vittorio.
Love him.
It's just, I cannot do it. To murder a funny man of such genius would be a crime.
That's a line that I didn't get until this very
end. Yeah, exactly.
It would be a crime. It would be a crime anyway.
You ride a little bike through the loop and I will let you live.
So Homer tries to plead anyway, but he has to do it.
The fact that you did not do the trick well is the biggest insult of all.
This crazy guy, like, and then Krusty, of course, like if he only knew Homer was in there, he would have just clearly let him die. Like, that's Krusty all over it.
And then you get the great line of, "I'm seeing double here, four Krustys."
I quite liked, I mean, when they finally, he's like, "Unless you both do the loop together." And when they go through, like, and they play the Godfather theme tune with their heads on the glass and all, and they're like, "Ah."
I, like, that, such a vivid memory of, like, my dad watching this. Like, he didn't watch loads of Simpsons with me when I was younger. But, like, watching... And I obviously didn't get it as a kid, the theme song. Yeah. But my dad pissing, it was the funniest thing
really?
He ever heard of, like when they play the Godfather theme. It was so funny to him. And I was like, you know.
It always sticks with you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, the bits that make your parents laugh.
Yeah. But it's a great animation, just how like, first of all, like Homer covering Krusty's eyes. He's like, "I can't see you, idiot."
Yeah.
And then the seltzer bottle.
I love the seltzer bottle because, like, it takes a minute for that arm of the to go down, and it just goes down right at the moment that they cross it. Like, it was great.
And then onto the stool, go through it backwards.
And then, after all that, like, and then you know Homer eats the bike and all that. Plus, I did like the little touch of like Krusty lands perfectly, but Homer kind of lands with like a thump and then gets back up. But the fact that all this is over is like, but you still owe us the money. $48.
It's 50.
And do your change and we thank you.
I love the bitches for as well. You have brought great joy to this old Italian stereotype.
Yeah. No, no, Don Vittorio.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, I am. I know. I am.
I think of that all the time for some reason. Yes, I am. I know. I am.
But that's it then. It ends there.
Yeah.
Like button on it.
Can I, dare I ask, should we get into ratings, Terry?
Let's do it.
What did you think of it?
I thought, like we said at the top, I really enjoyed
it. Oh yeah, we already discussed
it.
All this.
but I really enjoyed it, but just going it more in depth of like, there was so much to laugh about in it. Like there's not a lot of meat on the bone. Like really, Homer goes to clown college and then gets mistaken for Krusty, and that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Well, meanwhile, you get a bit of a glimpse into what Krusty gets up to, but like, there's not a hell of a lot going on.
There's not much going on with like the family, the Simpson family, like, and it's kind of like the exact opposite of like last week where Homer was like just on the outskirts dropping bombs, and now it's all Homer and very little family, like.
And with this one, I didn't find Homer particularly that funny, but it was everything that was orbiting him this time that was funny. Like the Dick Cavett stuff, you know, the kind of the stuff where he was seeing, like, it's not anything that he was doing, but it was like him seeing the clown college stuff, like Krusty in the clown college. That was the stuff that was all, but it was facilitated by Homer
kind of
being the anchor of the episode, for lack of a better.
Him being like, surrounded by all these, like, and it was completely different to the sort of stuff you'd normally see, like even just like the clown college stuff, like, you know, like him at, like, you know, the kid's birthday party and stuff. It was just all very, very little of the episode took place in the Simpsons house, like.
But even like Homer was very like lo-fi, like he didn't have a lot of agency in the episode, like, you know, he's very much that, like, when he's the clown, he's like, oh god, he's not like doing anything particularly like hilarious.
He was almost the straight man in the episode.
Yeah, pretty much, like almost, like, you know.
Well, who would your MVP be, if I may ask?
Gotta be the K-Man.
Nice.
Krusty.
And can I ask what your rating would be?
I'm going to give it a good
8.9. Ooh, okay. Same as last week.
Yeah, and I would say they're different, but I enjoyed them. I think I laughed more at this one, but I enjoyed overall.
Yeah.
Like what the way the episode last week was made really kind of brought it up for me.
Yeah.
In terms of it, whereas this one was, there wasn't as much depth going on, but it was in terms of the script firing, it was just tumbling along perfectly.
I would agree. I would pretty much agree. I don't like the first 5 minutes, I don't know, even though, like, there, like you said, there's some big laughs, like we're getting to the stage, or we're actually well at the stage now where like every episode has one incredibly memorable gag, like at least, like that you would quote all the time. My MVP would be Fat Tony. I just think he's great. He's just great every time, like, he's on screen. I'm like, he's almost up there. I know he's not there all the time, but like in terms of, like,
You've got the money.
Yeah, you've got, obviously Phil Hartman would top that, like, not a regular cast member, but like Fat Tony would, I think, be right underneath him. I would give it an 8.2.
Oof.
Which is, you know, it's not bad for me. It's up there, one of my top rated. It was like, I had some, I can't remember exactly what it was on Bart's comment, but I had a real loud, hearty laugh at something in Bart's comment. I can't remember what it was. I didn't have any hearty laughs this one, but I had a few, like, you know, like that sort of thing. But again, like, I can't tell if I'm just skewed by having seen it so many times, but thoroughly enjoyed it.
This one for me, and like I say, that, like, I'm still thinking about it. Like, all the stuff at the start, within the first 3 minutes, I had laughed out loud like 3 or 4 times.
All right.
Just like Bonko the Clown, the tenor, you know, that's yeah. just like all that crusty stuff.
I don't know if it's like, this was the first time that I watched it by myself in a couple of weeks. I don't know. I'm probably less likely to laugh heartily out loud if I'm watching it by myself, I think. Hmm. I don't even know if that's true. So, you know, I don't know. But I enjoyed it, but it wouldn't be in my top 5 or anything like that.
Hmm. Interesting. Shall we inform the folks of what's happening next week?
Yes. We're going to try something a little different next week.
Yeah.
We're going to take a little breather from our
regularly scheduled programming.
Yes. And we're going to help you, the viewer. Yeah, I know, but for the purposes of the show, we are going to be your life coaches, you might say. Your agony uncles.
Agony aunt.
Where we want to help you solve your problems. I don't know why I'm pointing at you, Terry, but we want to help you, the listener, solve your problems. Send us in if you want advice on something that you want to help with, if you just want to ask us a question even. We're really heavily depending on you, the listener, for content for next week. So if you have a problem, if you'd like to know what we would do in a certain situation, if you've got questions, anything like that, we will be answering your questions.
You got Q's, we got A's.
Nice, I like it. Interestingly, the quarantine Q&A that we did about a month or two ago was one of our highest listened to shows in the last while. Good. So there's got to be something there. We'll put a thing up on our Patreon and on Instagram as well if you a chance to throw in a question, and it should be fun.
Where can they find us in the meantime, Andy?
Instagram, Twitter, I put it in H pod. You can find us on
Facebook.
Facebook, yes, technically. At put it in H Die Hard Simpsons podcast. Gmail, am I boring you, Terry?
Yeah, yeah, get on with it.
Put it in hpod@gmail.com. Patreon.
Yes, Patreon.
Take it away, Terry. Yeah,
so if you know what, before we get to the Patreon, you can help out the show by giving us a rating or a review. 5 stars. There's a lot of podcasts out there. We appreciate you listening to ours, but why don't you know, or tell a friend as well, even.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to drive these numbers. Andy is always, you know what, I always get...
I'm a numbers man.
Every Tuesday morning, I get a fucking message of Andy saying, numbers are down, Terry, what the fuck are you doing?
Your gags in that last week's show were a disgrace.
Fuck it. You're this close away from being cut off the show.
I got 3 co-hosts waiting in the chamber.
So, folks, let's try and spread the word. Keep me in a job here, quote unquote.
And share it with your friends. Share anything, you know. Yeah.
And if you want to support us physically.
Most important.
Get on over to Patreon. We've got a lot of good stuff going on over there. We're coming to the end of our free segment on our Marvel miniseries on our sister podcast, What's So Great About? So, Thor should be dropping next week, and then Captain America after that, and then you're done unless you're on our Patreon.
You know what I was thinking we should do for the Patreon next week? What? Well, I think we actually discussed it last week. Top 5 emo songs. I'm going to make you listen to. I'm going to create a playlist for you during the week, and I want you to listen to 5 songs, and I'm going to tell you why they're brilliant. You might even say I'm going to tell you what's so great about them, but I'm not saying that.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
So I think that'd be a good way to go. I even had a suggestion today that we should do what's so great about emo, because I put up a thing about emo albums or whatever. But anyway, save it. Save your hatred of the genre for next week.
No good, isn't it?
No, I tell you what. But so that'll probably be on our Patreon next week as well, as well as our other podcast.
Every other week. So, you know, next week you'll be getting your Marvel. Week after that, you'll be getting a mini episode. Like we've done one on Disney+. We've done one on the Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. These have all been sort of fan requested, etc. So if you're on Patreon as well and you would like a particular topic covered, please feel free to let us know.
Please do. Yeah. And listen, I've nothing else to say here.
That's that, I guess.
Thank you very much for listening. We hope you're staying safe out there. Yeah. And
we'll be back next week with more of your questions.
We'll be saving your life next week. Yeah. Huh?
It's a little harsh.
Okay.
When I was just a lad, looking for my true vocation, my father said, "Now, son, this choice deserves deliberation. Though you could be a doctor, or perhaps a financier, my boy, why not consider a more challenging career?
Hey, ho, ho, you'll cruise the foreign shores.
See you, lads.
Keep your mind and
show him you've been practicing.
Working out of doors.
True friendship and adventure are what we can't live without.
And when you're a professional pirate,
that's what the job's about.
Upstage, lads. This is my only number. Now take Sir Francis Drake. The Spanish all despise him, but to the British he's a hero and they idolize him. It's how you look at buccaneers that makes them bad or good. And I see us as members of a noble brotherhood. Hup!
Hey ho ho!
Oh, I love
on the road,
it is poetry
and magic. And before we lose our tempers, we will always count to ten.
On occasion, there may be someone you have to execute.
But when you're a professional pirate,
you don't have to wear a suit. What?
I could have been a surgeon. I like taking things apart.
I could have been a lawyer, but I just had too much heart.
I could have been in politics, 'cause I've always been a big spender.
And me, I could have been a contender.
Some say that pirates steal and should be feared and hated. I say we're victims of bad press. It's all exaggerated. We'd never stab you in the back. We'd never lie or cheat. We're just about the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet. Well, look at us, Jim. We're a festival of conviviality.
Congeniality.
That's conviviality, stupid.
That's what I said.
We're ready, O Capitan.
Good. You men guard the ship while I'm gone. We'll be back as soon as we get Jim.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Cast off, Mr. Beaker. Thanks for coming along, men.
Are you kidding? Jim's family.
Yeah.
Tell the truth, lad. Do you really think the captain and the squire are planning to share the treasure with the likes of us? Can't he? No? And we've been the rightful owners. Flint's own crew, who shed our blood getting it here. Join us, lad. Donate your compass to the treasure hunt and get a full share.
Hey, ho, ho. It's one for all for one. And we'll share and share alike with you and love you like a son. We're gentlemen of fortune, and that's what we're proud to be. And when you're a professional pirate,
you'll be honest, brave, and free, the soul of decency. You'll be loyal and fair and on the square, and most importantly,
when you're a professional pirate, you're always in the best.